Govardhana ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kumar Radha Kumar Giri Govardhana ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dhamma ki jai. Shri Mayapur Dhamma ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma ki jai. Tulsi Bhakti Devi ki jai. Ganga Jamuna Maya ki jai. Sankirtan Jagna ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. The Transcendental Lordship, Shri Shri Radhasham Sundar ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balarama ki jai, Shri Prahlad Nishinga ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Samaveda Bhakta Vinda ki jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Brahma. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10. Chapter 84. Chapter is entitled The Sage's Teachings at Kurukshetra. Today we're covering texts 2 through 10. Right? 2 through 10. Yeah. Okay, so we just chant in unison, then the first up through 9, and then 10 we'll do responsively. Does that make sense? So then I'll do the translation, and there's one purport on 8. No. On 9, I mean. Okay. Iti sampa shamana shu stri bi stri shu nibir nishu ayayu munayastatra Krishna Rama Dhrikshaya Dvaipayano Naradascha Chavano Devalosita Vishvamita Satananto Paradvojo Katnotama Ramasa Shisho Bhagavan Vasishto Gavalo Bhrigu Pulascha Kashyapo Trishcha Makandeyo Bihaspati Tritas Chaikantas Cha Ramaputras Tatangira Agastyo Jagavalpyas Cha Ramadeva Deyopare. As the women thus talked amongst themselves, the men amongst themselves, a number of great sages arrived there, all of them eager to see Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. They included Dvaipayana, Narada, Chaiwan, Devala, Asita, Vishwamita, Satananda, Bharadwaj, and Gautama. Lord Parashuram and his disciples, Vasishta, Galava, Bhrigu, Pulastya, and Kashyapa, Atri, Markandeya, and Brihaspati, Dvita, Trita, Ekata, and the four Kumaras, and Angira, Agastya, Jagyavalkya, and Vamanadeva. Text 6. Tandrisva Sahasotaya, Dragasina Nipadaya, Pandava Krishna Ramocha, Tainemur Vishadanditan. As soon as they saw the sages approaching, the kings and other gentlemen who had been seated immediately stood up, including the Pandava brothers and Krishna and Balaram. They all then bowed down to the sages who were honored throughout the universe. Text 7. Tan anachur yata sarve Sahavamo chuto ritar. Sagatana sapadyagra. Aliyadu panule panai. Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, and the other kings and leaders properly worshipped the sages by offering them words of greeting, sitting places, water for washing their feet, drinking water, flower garlands, incense, and sandalwood paste. Uvacha sukamasinan bhagavan dharma guptanu sadasastasya mahato yatavacho nishunivata. After the sages were comfortably seated, the Supreme Lord Krishna, whose transcendental body protects religious principles, addressed them in the midst of that great assembly. Everyone listened silently with rapt attention. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aho Vayam Jama Brito, Labdham Karchnena Tatpalam, Devanam Apidushprapam, Yad Yogeshvar Darshanam. The Supreme Lord said, "Now our lives are indeed successful, for we have obtained life's ultimate goal, the audience of great yoga masters, which even demigods only rarely obtain." Purport. Despite the great privileges the demigods enjoy as administrators of the universe, they rarely see such sages as Narada and Vyasadeva. How much rarer, then, must it be for earthly kings and mere cowherds to see them? Here, Lord Krishna, identifying himself with all the kings and others who okay, so this one we'll do responsively. Text 10. Kim svalpa tapasam nenam achayam deva chapshusham darshana sparshana prashna tava padachana dikam. Kim svalpa tapasam nenam achayam deva chakshusham darshana sparshana prashna tava padachana dikam. Please chant. Vaishnavis? Kim Weather Su Alpa Very meager Tapasam Whose austerities Rinam For human beings Archayam In the deity in the temple Deva God Chakshusham Whose perception? Darshana, seeing. Sparshana, touching. Prashna, asking questions. Prava, bowing down. Pada Archana, worshipping the feet. Adikam, and so on. Translation. How is it that people who are not very austere and who recognize God only in his deity form in the temple can now see you, touch you, inquire from you, bow down to you, worship your feet, and serve you in other ways? Om Ganatimananda Sha Ganjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umnitam Dina Tishmai Shri Vedanaha. So here's a fairly classic example of a phenomena that there's a Vedic aphorism, Atiti Deva Bhava, that when an unexpected guest arrives, he should be treated as good as God. Now, these aren't ordinary unexpected guests. These are about as exalted guests as you could get. But it still requires a certain level of advancement to understand the need to worship them as good as God, to give them full facility. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, indicates that there's a text 8. The translation is, after the sages were comfortably seated, the Supreme Lord Krishna, whose transcendental body protects religious principles, addressed them in the body of that great assembly. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you know, he says that this is what Krishna's doing. You know, he's protecting Dharma, you know, by, first of all, the welcome, but then he pause, everything kind of goes on pause, and he starts speaking. And he's speaking, you know, to impart a very important instruction of the need to respect devotees. So Dharma Samsthapanataya, you know, this is one of the purposes that the Lord descends to this world, you know, to establish Dharma, to uphold it, to revitalize it. So I'm going to take the liberty to do a little Artha Bhava. Is it Bhava Artha or Artha Bhava? Artha Bhava, right? And we'll look at how Prabhupada, what he does in Krishna book with these verses, text, verses 8 through 10. He gives quite a bit more. For those of you who aren't familiar, Prabhupada gave instruction on Artha Bhava to Sarva Bhavana on how he should translate the scriptures. He said that there's two ways to do it. You can do it scripturally, and you can do it according to Artha Bhava, and that's the deeper meaning. In a CC word for word, Artabhava is translated as purport. So in other words, it gives a deeper meaning. And that oftentimes may come from realization that goes beyond what a Sanskritist may be able to perceive in what's being written in the Sanskrit. Maybe drawing from previous acharyas or the enlightenment from within that comes with a high level of advancement, as Srila Prabhupada functioned on. So, and that, and Prabhupada said of the two, the Artha Bhava is a better way to translate. So he's encouraging Sarva Bhavanam to do it like that. So I wanted to read from Krishna book. Okay, starting with the W, that's text 8. When all the sages were comfortably seated, Lord Krishna, who descended for the protection of religion, began to address them on behalf of the king. When Krishna began to speak, all became silent, eager to hear and understand his welcoming words to the sages. So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, says, beginning with text 9, Krishna's words illustrate his... Okay, so I'm sorry. Okay, so eight, just describes what Lord Krishna's descent's all about. But then 9, he starts upholding Dharma when he actually starts speaking. Okay, so Lord Krishna spoke thus: "All glories to the assembled sages and ascetics. Today we all feel that our lives have become successful. Today we've achieved the desired goal of life, because we now see face to face all the exalted, liberated sages and ascetics, whom even the great demigods in the heavens desire to see." Okay, so that's text 9, in Bhava Artha translation form. Here's text 10. Persons who are neophytes in devotional service and who simply offer their respectful obeisances to the deity in the temple, but cannot realize that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and those who simply worship different demigods for fulfillment of their own lusty desires, are unable to understand the importance of these sages. They cannot take advantage of receiving these sages by seeing them with their eyes, by touching their lotus feet, by inquiring about their welfare, or by diligently worshiping them. Neophyte devotees or religionists cannot understand the importance of great Mahatmas. They go to the temple as a matter of formality and pay their respectful obeisances unto the deity. But when one is promoted to the next platform of transcendental consciousness, one can understand the importance of Mahatmas and devotees. And in that stage, one tries to please them. Therefore, Lord Krishna says that the neophyte cannot understand the importance of great sages, devotees, or ascetics. So in support of that, there's a verse from Padma Purana that Prabhupada oftentimes quotes, where Lord Shiva is giving instruction to Durga, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tajmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samachanam. So, my dear Devi, although the Vedas recommend worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost. However, even above the worship of Lord Vishnu is the rendering of service to the devotees. To Dhyanam is the worship of that which is connected with Lord Krishna. And so that's the devotee, or his paraphernalia. Once King Pratiparudra, this is in the cleansing of the Gundincha temple. Past time he was very eager to get the Lord's association, but Lord Chaitanya wasn't giving it. You know, he didn't want to associate, you know, with a king because of his materialistic mentality. So at any rate, Lord Nityananda made arrangement for King Pratiparudra to get an outer cloth, an old, kind of almost discarded cloth of the Lord, and then King Pratiparudra started worshiping it. But, you know, and Lord Chaitanya was very, very pleased by that. So whether it's the entourage of the Lord or the Lord's devotees, this is actually a higher form of worship than to worship the Lord directly. That may seem odd, but this is part of what's being unpacked here by Lord Krishna and Prabhupada's Artha Bhava translation. So Prabhupada, in his expansion of the translations, kind of his own little purport in Krishna book, but when one is promoted to the next platform of transcendental consciousness, one can understand the importance of Mahatmas and devotees. And in that stage, one tries to please them. So an obvious question is, how do you get promoted? I mean, it's obviously favorable, and I'm sure that many in the audience are there, but some may not be. So how do we get there? What's the formula for making that kind of progress devotionally? We could give a lot of simple answers, but there's some definitive answers given by Shastra, by Srila Prabhupada, by our acharyas, that I think can be pretty helpful. As I was going to them, they were helping me quite a bit. So I think first we got to understand what the neophyte platform, what it actually entails. There's a kind of a brief description. I guess the one is more directly related to Prabhupada gives. Persons who are neophytes in devotional service and who simply offer their respectful obeisances to the deity in the temple, but cannot realize that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and those who simply worship different demigods for fulfillment of their lusty desires are unable to understand the importance of these sages. So that's part of it. There's a very succinct description of the vision and consciousness of and the symptomatology of a Kanishtha Vaishnava, of a Prakrita Bhakta, in 11.2.47 in Bhagavatam. Archayam eva haraye pujam, pujam ya. I learned it a long time ago, and I'm just relearning it. So let's see, shradyayate, right? Then nata bhakteshu chaneshu sa bhakta prakrita smita. So this one who faithfully worships the deity in the temple, but doesn't deal properly with other devotees and with people in general, they're considered materialistic or prakrita bhaktas. They're in the lowest platform of devotional service. They're in devotional service, so that's a very high platform, but it's just entry level. There's a very interesting, this is another Bhava Artha translation by Prabhupada, in Madhya 22.74, where the same verse is quoted, but it kind of gives a little bit more circumspect view. A Prakriti Bhakta, or a materialistic devotee, does not purposely study the Shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. There's a connection. You know, he's not like every time Divyanga gives class, he's hammering away, you've got to read Prabhupada's books, and you know, just really letting you have it. So there's reasons behind that. You know, why Prabhupada, you know, he set that as our daily quota, at least 1 hour a day. Purposely study the Shastra. If you look at Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.17, this is the qualification for, there's like three verses together, sequential. They give the qualification for practicing Krishna consciousness, for practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Okay, so they, because of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Bhakta, you know, he's practicing not because of spontaneous attraction, but he's doing it, you know, like he's in the military, you know, he's doing it because of the instruction of Guru and Shastra. And of course, the instruction from Guru comes from Shastra. So that's his impetus. So it makes sense that, as Rupa Goswami elucidates, that our qualification for advancing in Krishna consciousness is faith in and knowledge of Shastra. Okay, I don't know the Sanskrit from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but there's two verses together that describe, like, the Kanishta, he has weak faith and very little knowledge. Okay, so if he gets the association of a non-devotee, he can easily become bewildered. But that Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on that, he says that, but when he gets kind of realigned, or I've been going to chiropractors a lot, so that's maybe not the right word. When he gets his adjustment, you know, he goes back to Guru and then he gets back on track, okay? But he can easily get bewildered. And then the Madhyama Vaishnava, he has strong faith, but he may not be able to defeat all opposing arguments, and sometimes he can get a little disturbed. But his faith is strong, so he'll stick with it. Whereas the Uttama Vaishnava has, Uttama Adhikari has strong faith and he's very conclusive knowledge, so he can defeat all opposing arguments. So these are actually qualifications. You know, technically speaking, that's what, you know, the Adhikar, you know, the qualification for making spiritual advancement. And then the actual level of advancement, this is described Madhya 2271, is, you know, the attachment and love. I think it's 2271. Anyway, I gotta really watch my numbers with Keshava around, because he'll chase me with them. That advancement actually means attachment and love for Krishna. The more love and attachment we have. Okay, there you go. I had it right. I'm not like Madame Mohan. He's got all these numbers floating around. Okay, so anyway, that's an important feature. Let me finish reading this this translation that Prabhupada gave. Where'd it go? And a Prakriti Bhakta, or a materialistic devotee, does not purposely study the Shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles learned from his spiritual master or from his family who worships the deity. He's to be considered on the material platform, although he's trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is Bhakta Praya, neophyte devotee, or Bhakta Abbas, for he is little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy. So, you know, it's no small wonder that, you know, that Prabhupada endeavored so laboriously, you know, to provide these books for us. You know, probably Divyanga knows this, but there were times when Prabhupada would say, you know, you don't just distribute the books, you got to read them. And I wrote these books for you. And I heard that I sometimes would say that and there'd be tears rolling down his eyes of compassion. That's what he did, you know. We're the primary recipients, we're the primary targets for Prabhupada's writing of his books. Of course, we want to distribute them and pull more people in. But the devotees that are actually practicing, they should really take advantage. Okay, so now, how does one get promoted? Again, let's focus a little bit more on what it means for one to be on the Kanishtha Vaishnava platform. So, okay, he just sees Krishna in the deity. Somehow or other, Krishna manifests in many forms. You know, he's in his para form, you know, Krishna the Supreme Lord. He's in the Chaturvyuha. He's in the Vaibhava Prakash, you know, his pastime forms. He's in the deity form. He's in the super soul. Super soul's always here in the material realm, accessible. So, but the Kanishtha, because of his constriction, let's say, of consciousness, you're not able to perceive Krishna anywhere except in the deity. And, you know, the deity, actually, the Archivigraha, this is a description, I think it's Jiva Goswami in this purport to 11.247, says that all five forms, all these five different forms of manifestation of Krishna appear in the deity. So that because a Kanishtha's worshipping the deity gets the benefit. You know, of so gradually gets purified, and you know, of accessing these other forms. Where the Madhyama, you know, because of his maturity, can perceive, you know, these other forms. He has an awakening understanding more and more and more as he advances. Okay, so then here's a quote. This is Madhvacharya. In the translation to 11.247. Furthermore, being puffed up by his own ceremonial worship, a Kanishtha Adhikari cannot imagine that anyone is more pious or religious than he. And he's not even aware that other devotees are more advanced. Thus he cannot understand the Madhyama or the Uttama standard of devotional service. And sometimes, because of his false pride, he criticizes the more advanced devotees of the Lord, neglects them, or simply has no understanding of their exalted position as preachers or completely self-realized souls. So you can understand how Krishna was upholding Dharma by giving these instructions. You know, this is like such an important part. We know that the Hati Mata, you know, the mad elephant offense, is Vaishnava Aparad. You know, and this is what really, you know, stymies our spiritual advancement. A little bit more on the Kanishtha. So Jiva Goswami says, you know, if a Kanishtha, he can't properly respect another devotee, then how's he going to respect people in general? So he says that for practical purposes, a Kanishtha has no value in the preaching arena, simply because of this inability to properly respect, you know, because that the mood of a preacher, kripam purir ya paraduka duki, you know, this is who is that, who said that, was that Sanat Goswami? Kripam purir ya paraduka duki, I think it's Sanat Goswami in glorification. Anyway, it's a commonly quoted phrase, it's from Sanat Goswami, it's maybe it's glorifying Sanat Goswami, that the Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy, an ocean of compassion. And Prahlad Maharaj in his Pirsana Shringadev in the ninth chapter of seventh canto, Naivo Dvijay Paradaratiya Vaitaranyas, Twad Virya Gayana Mahamita Magnachita. So chetato vimukachetasa indriyarta maya sukaya baram udvahato vimudham. Oh, best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. I am, however, simply concerned out of love for those fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and for maintaining their families, societies, and countries. Simply concerned with love for them. It's interesting, you know, Prabhupada does a Bhava Artha translation in CC of that. And instead of I'm simply absorbed in thoughts of the Lord's glories and pastimes, he says I'm just emerged in an ocean of transcendental ecstasy for chanting the holy name. So there's this incredible relish that a devotee experiences in Krishna consciousness. So he wants to share that, and out of respect, because there's a respectfulness. It's not to you. Damn karmi, get out of my way, you know? It's like, no, he respects him because he understands that this is Krishna's beloved part and parcel who somehow or other has made some big mistakes and ended up in the material realm and has been covered over. So there's a really, one of my favorite verses that describes this. I think it's 11.237. It's a really power-packed chapter of the Bhagavatam. Bhayam dhuti yabhi niveshata shad ishade petasha viparyoshmiti tanmaya yato buddha abhajetan bhaktyayaka yesham guru devatatma. So fear overcomes the living entity when he misidentifies himself as a material body. I'll give the Bhava Artha translation because I didn't learn the one that was from here. I'm sure that's Madan, thank you for introducing me to Bhava Artha translations. The great mercy upon me. So Prabhupada says that and I think it's a CC translation somewhere, that he says that one goes through a role reversal. Rather than seeing oneself as Krishna's servant, he becomes Krishna's competitor. Viparyoshmiti. So he forgets, you know, his relationship with Krishna. So anyway, this is what happens, you know, and then there's this covering, you know, that comes when we go through that role reversal. That we don't have the capacity to perceive, you know, Krishna's presence in our life. We may become an atheist. We don't perceive the power. What's that? All right, we're not going now. Stop throwing numbers around. Okay. All right. So, you know, there's a blockage of the appreciating the value of the holy name. You know, we're just constricted. You know, we're in this bodily conception of life, and you know, we're thinking, actually, Krishna is not the center of the universe. I am. You know, and that actually, everything in the universe is meant for my gratification. See how the competitive modality awakens. This is the influence of the modes of material nature. So basically, how do we get out of that? You know, what's the, how does one get promoted? That question. Okay, so now we've got an understanding of the mess that's there. So now how to get out of it? That's the big one. Here's some interesting quotes of the importance. Okay, so, you know, I forgot, you know, in that verse, it's 11.237, that when one recognizes the position, you know, he's gone through this role reversal, that he takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and accepts him, as one translation, as his worshipful deity. you know, and he serves him hand and foot. Okay, that's the importance of the guru in this. So that kind of comes into how we get there. So in stressing the importance of being promoted, Prabhupada, in the purport to text 5 of Nectar of Instruction, which gives these a delineation of these three levels of spiritual advancement, Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama, he says, one should not remain a Kanishta Adhikari, one who is situated on the lowest platform of devotional service and is interested only in worshiping the deity in the temple. One has to rise himself from the position of Kanishta Adhikari to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advises the devotee to be intelligent enough to distinguish between the Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama Adhikaris. The devotee should also know his own position and not try to imitate a devotee situated on a higher platform. I remember, I guess about 4 or 5 classes ago, Jivanath Prabhu, he asked the question, well, you know, it used to be really easy to kind of determine who's advanced. You know, the devotees that were shaved up and living in the ashram, they were the advanced ones, and the ones that were outside, they were neophyte. But was that the reality? Because, you know, once I was teaching this Nectar of Instruction in Bhakti Shastri course, and I came across this, and I said, God, I don't know where I'm situated. I didn't get it, you know. So I started researching it, and I figured, well, how do I get this across to students? And what I did, you know, I found, you know, going through, there's a lot of this, the symptomatology of a Kanishta and a Madhyama in the purporting to 11.2.46 and 47. 46 gives the description and the symptomatology and the vision of a Madhyama Vaishnava. So in those two purports, and there's a lot of quoting from Madhvacharya Jiva Goswami and in particular Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. But it gives a lot of very detailed understandings. So what I did, I created a devotional development self-assessment. Now, Dear Govinda, one time he did his PhD on the impact of chanting Hare Krishna on a person's being situated within the modes of material nature. And there was a self-assessment that he created for that, and it was all statistically analyzed. I came up with this brainstorm. I was doing Ayurvedic treatment down in Udupi, and I consulted with a fellow teacher. He said, yeah, that's a really good idea. And as a matter of fact, I've got that. I got this, this self-assessment that Dear Govinda developed. So he sent it to me. And there was like this whole 2 pages of the statistical analysis. I couldn't get past the first paragraph. It was all like all the statistical jargon. It was like Greek to me. So I said, God, I can't really do that. So somehow or other, I ended up, you know, after I finished Ayurvedic treatment, I ended up in Chopati for Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja. And there was this plague there, or there was this big flu epidemic. What was that called? Huh? Chikungunya. Yeah, anyway, there were people dying all over Maharashtra. And so what the temple did, they banned any outsiders from coming to the temple on Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja. I mean, they usually get like 5, 10,000, 20,000 people coming. But it was just the in-house. We were staying in the guest house, myself and my family. And so there was one devotee that was, he was one of the, he had counseling groups and he was a university preacher. He was living outside. Somehow he got in underneath the radar, but he was working on a PhD in statistics. And so we sat together. We did a marathon for both all day Janmashtami and all day Vyasa Puja because there wasn't so much else going on. You know, went through the morning program and stuff to develop this devotional development self-assessment. So I give it to students. You know, and actually I would preface giving this out to the students with a quote from, this is paraphrasing Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. It's the next to last paragraph in 11.2.47 purport. Punch, you're late. Oh. Get home now. The breakfast is ready. okay, so this kind of like gives some clues as to how we can, you know, get promoted. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur states that after hundreds of lifetimes of faithfully worshipping the deity of Lord Vasudeva with external paraphernalia, hopefully we're on our 100, one realizes the true nature of the transcendental name and mantras, and the bondage of one's materialistic mentality slackens. Okay, so key point here. One realizes the true nature of the transcendental name and mantras. Okay? First element in the equation. And the bondage of one's materialistic mentality slackens. There's no wonder there's this famous verse that's kind of the essence of Vaidisadhana Bhakti. Smartavya satatam Vishnu Vishmartavyo najatuchit sarve vidhi nisheda shur etayor eva kinkura. So one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. And all the rules and regulations are simply servants of these two principles. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. Okay, so then in the purporting, Prabhupada says the best way to always remember Krishna is to chant Hare Krishna. And then he says, of all of the instructions of the spiritual master, the chanting of 16 rounds is the most essential. So in other words, that deserves our highest priority. You know, 24 hours a day, we should key in on how we can optimize our chanting, if we're actually putting it as the highest priority. Anyway, let me get back to reading this excerpt from 11.2.47 before I get off on this Hare Krishna tangent here. sorry, forgive my American humor. In this way, as a Kanishtha gradually comes to perceive the mental activities of a devotee, okay, important point, right? He begins to understand the mental activities, gradually begins to perceive the mental activities of a devotee, and tries to seriously to advance to a higher stage, his materialistic conceptions will go away of their own accord. Right, so this really is beginning to sound like some kind of a brainwashing operation, you know, but you understand the activities of the mind of a genuine devotee. You begin to perceive that. How do you get that? Okay, so first of all, you know, you're chanting, you're given that high priority, then when you're chanting, you start realizing, God, this is transcendental. Like, I'm getting blissed out. This is incredible. There must be something to this Hare Krishna mantra. And then the bondage of one's materialistic conception starts to slacken. Okay, and then because he's doing his quota, you know, Divyanga is always encouraging us to do of reading an hour a day. And then, you know, you start, particularly 10th canto, it's all about the mentality of a devotee. Right? I mean, you look pastime after pastime, it reveals the activities of the mind of a devotee. Right? So we start getting it. And then we start, you know, this process is for those who are thoroughly honest. Then we start looking at ourselves. Ooh, you know, there's something that we're not quite there on a lot of these points. You know, these are called anarthas. Right? So this is this is something we got to deal with. Okay, so then, he then exhibits loving service to the Supreme Lord, makes friendship with the devotees, who are the dearmost sons of the Lord. How about that, you know? And by appreciating the universal equality of devotional service to Krishna, he becomes very much eager to engage other innocent people in the service of the Lord.
Wow.
Further, As he begins to make significant advancement, he becomes inimical to anything or anyone that hinders the progress of his devotional life, and thus he avoids atheistic people who cannot benefit by good instruction. Okay. God, I got another whole class to give, and it's like, we're just starting, man. I'm on Tafa time. I'm not on Rasa time. Because Madan will explain that to you after class if you're interested. Okay, so then just a couple other some other real key points before we close. Okay, so the how to get there. There's a very interesting quote in Madhya 22, this is Madhya 22:83. This is Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatan Goswami. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangha. So this is the association of advanced devotees. That's how devotional service happens. That's how it begins. Janma Mula, that's the root cause right there. So even after we've started it, then there is some Krishna Prema Janme Tenho Puna Mukhya Anya Anga. Just learned that one too. And so even when one achieves the platform of love of God, the association of devotees is most essential. So every step of the way, and there's a lot of quotes from Prabhupada, every step of our advancement must be accompanied by advanced association. We can have peer level association, but we also need to serve and honor and get the mercy of those that are more advanced than us. That can be Prabhupada, but also, there's, after we've gone through the devotional development self-assessment, and we have the intelligence to understand the position of others and of ourselves, then we can determine, this person's actually more advanced, so I go to him, Guyam Akyati Prichati. I got my problems, I got my challenges. Now, can you kind of help me out with this? There's in Jivadharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a point that a patient, and without the help of a doctor, he can't get well. So the Balisha, who's a little bit in ignorance of the philosophy or, is a little bit on the, Prakriti Bhakta platform, on his own, he can't get there. He needs the help. He needs the doctoral care. Is that the right word? He needs the Madhyama, Vaishnava, to help him, get through it. Otherwise, it doesn't work. And that's the special arrangement of the Lord. That's why it's so important to have the respect. That's why Krishna's stressing it so much. When we respect someone, then if he tells us that we're, really off the wall, we'll probably take it. If we tell, you got to do this, Prabhu. This is Maya. Maya, will you? And we'll listen to it, because we have respect. So that, it's an important thing. Even though we may not fully realize how advanced someone is, we should still have that, just have a respectful, submissive attitude. If we at least can identify that person's a little further along the road than I am. Okay, so then, so Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangha, then, so how do we get there? How do we get that association? And the way, the doorway to bhakti, there's three angas that are the first three in the listing that's given by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The first 20, they're considered the doorway to bhakti, but of all of those, the first three are the most important. And that's receiving, taking shelter of the feet of a guru, receiving teachings after initiation, and serving the guru with respect. So those three are the principal ones. Okay, God, that clock just doesn't stop. Okay. I think I'm about done here now. Let's see. I only got another 2 hours to go. I got five sheets left. Now just hang in there, Prabhu. We're on Rasa time now. You don't have anything else to do the rest of the day. All right, so maybe I'll just quit while I'm ahead or behind. But at any rate, you know, the chanting of Hare Krishna is most essential. And, you know, what we need to really do is come onto the platform of offenseless chanting. Here's what Prabhupada says in the purport. This actually gives a real condensation of the process, purport of text 5 of Nectar of Instruction. If one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly, carefully avoiding the 10 offenses, he can certainly be elevated to the platform of understanding that there's no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. One should know that for certain that without chanting the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one cannot be a proper a candidate for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Okay, one other really good point is that this is from Bhakti Loka. This is Bhakti Loka Thakur's commentary. And what is it? It's and the Upadeshamrita, but it's texts. Certain texts in Upadeshamrita. I think it's 2 and 3. When even if one gives up all of the nama aparads, if he's still inattentive, he can never have attraction for the holy names. Whew. If one maintains his enthusiasm for devotional service, then one will never become apathetic, lazy, or distracted in chanting the holy names. By enthusiastically chanting the holy names, one can quickly come to the platform of steadiness, nishta. Nishta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur equates nishta in Jiva Dharma to the Madhyama Vaishnava platform. He also equates the Madhyama Vaishnava platform to the entry level to the practice of Uttama Bhakti. And so interestingly enough, he makes the point that like the description 11.2.46 of the Madhyama Vaishnava, Ishvare Tad Adineshu, Balisheshu Dusatsucha, Prema Maitri Kripo Peksha, Yakaroti Sadmajamaha. So it's pretty far out. You know, this is the description of the Madhyama. He gives his love to the Supreme Lord. Ishvara Prem, Prema, Ishvara Prem. And he, Tad Adineshu Maitri, he makes friendship with peer-level devotees. Then Balishesha Kripa, he gives mercy to those that are less advanced. And he neglects the envious, Dvisatsu Upeksha. And even that, you know, Jiva Goswami, he says that's an act of compassion. Because if he gets them entangled, then they become even more offensive. So, okay, so, but then I'll end, I'm going to really end. No, I'm not lying this time. I'm going to really end on this one last note. Of course, you know, advancing in Krishna consciousness means that we're focusing and actually giving pleasure to the Lord. When we, you know, yayata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante. The last line, basically. Just checking to see whether you're awake. I didn't forget it. Oh, time. Yeah, okay, time. I gotta get, okay. Okay, so if we surrender, so one of the ways that we can please the Lord the most, because this is what we're really looking for, and this is 1868 and 69, Yaidam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva bidhashati bhaktim mayi param kutva mame vaishat yasamsaya. So one who explains this most confidential knowledge to my devotees, then pure devotional service is guaranteed. And then the next line just seals the deal. And you're going to, everyone will be there if you just do it. Na cha tajman manusheshu kashtin me priyakritama bhavita na cha me tajmad anya priyatara obubi. There's no servant in the world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Finished. Okay, Keshava? Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, Sukada, you know, she, I mean, not Sukada, but Ruchira, man, she longer than I did, you know. So don't get on my case too bad. Okay, any questions or comments? Headaches. What was that? Mike? Mm-hmm. That was some snide remark. Okay, guys. Hare Krishna.